Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today we travel to the wind-blown Scottish Highlands for a tale of treachery, prophecy, and regicide, with an extra shake of paranoia to flavor the cautionary cauldron of calamity that is Uncle Will's tale of Macbeth. Contained within Uncle Will's shortest tragedy, where we have come across the phrase the milk of human kindness, we are introduced to one of William's favorite linguistic pastimes, turning a noun into a verb. The word champion existed as a noun since the early 13th century, coming from the Latin campionem, meaning gladiator or fighter, which itself is from campus, a field of combat, which actually makes some sense, as I was in a constant battle against sleeping in or traipsing across campus to get myself to an 8 a.m. class in college. But anyway, champion was a well-established word in the common tales of medieval knights, and even the most illiterate Shakespearean groundlings would be familiar with it. A warrior, or one who fights on behalf of a noble cause, or on behalf of one incapable of defending themselves. Which returns Uncle Will to dip deep into his inkwell of irony in Act 3 of his Scottish play. In a nutshell, three witches meet Macbeth and his bestie brother-in-arms Banquo upon a heath following a great battle, and foretell that Macbeth will become the Thane of Cawdor and eventually the King of Scotland. But importantly, tell Banquo that though he won't be king, he will bear kings. Soon after, Macbeth is indeed granted the title of Thane of Cawdor by King Duncan, validating the witch's prophecy. Spurred on by his ambition and his wife's rather rabid and alarming encouragement, Macbeth resolves to murder Duncan and seize the throne, which he does. After following an imaginary dagger to King Duncan's bedchamber, he proceeds to repeatedly puncture the potentate, leaving him in a state of regicidal repose, whereupon Macbeth becomes racked with guilt and paranoia, leaving it up to Lady Macbeth to take charge and plant the bloody daggers on Duncan's guards to frame them. The next morning, the king's corpse is discovered, chaos ensues, and Duncan's sons flee for their lives, leaving Macbeth to be crowned king, bringing the truth of the witch's prophecy full circle. But wait a minute. Didn't they say something about Banquo? And that is where we find Macbeth at the beginning of Act 3, realizing that he won't be safe from a challenge to his crown until he kills his best friend, whom the witches said would be the father of kings, realizing that his murderous deeds will all be in vain if Banquo's lineage is destined to rule.
Them kings, the seeds of Banquo kings. Rather than so, come, fate, into the list, and champion me to the utterance. Who's there?
It's me. Anyway, this speech, which has become known to me simply as Safely Thus, is very interesting for another small reason. Though, yes, this was the first time the word championed became a verb, we don't really use it in the same way Uncle Will may have originally intended. We think of it as a purely positive word, championing worthy causes, the well-being of children, or defenseless puppies. But there may be something darker and more ironic and a bit funny lurking beneath this use flippage. He calls on fate to intervene and champion me to the utterance, in essence, demanding that fate fight against his fate to change his fate. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.